Back with you here in Houston from Radio Row. And, of course, we are here because of Jiffy Lube. We've got you covered. And one of the fascinating things that we do here was we meet players that we didn't know we were going to meet when we came here. And one of them is Willie Colon. He's a free agent.
You didn't think he was going to meet me.
You know what, Willie? I did not think I was going to meet
horrible.
You, man. You know, and, you know, you and I are from the same neck of the woods.
That is true.
You know, so, but I didn't think, you know, Willie was, when I got off the airplane here, I'm like, yeah, probably I'm not going to be talking to Willie Colon, you know?
And look at you now. Life comes at you fast.
You know,
Snickers.
But I'm glad, and I'll tell you why, because I'm always fascinated about the week leading up to the Super Bowl.
Sure.
And you experienced that with Pittsburgh. And so take me in. What here we are on Thursday. The players' games are we play on Sunday. So take me into what the routine's like right now for these guys.
Well, I've been telling everybody, one thing you don't want to do is change your routine. However, whatever your routine was week five, it should be for the same week. So if you went out and had a steak and had a six-pack and was in bed by 11 watching the SVU unit, then that's what you should be doing.
Right.
Because this is it. The game's going to be the game now. There's going to be a ball. There's going to be people in the stands. There's going to be a fat ref. There's going to have your teammates next to you. You have to just make sure mentally you don't psych yourself out. Don't beat yourself before you put your cleats on. So from a mental preparation, just go over your game plan, kind of push the family away, push the party into the side. And these next 2 days, just kind of really lock yourself in. Because I tell you what, Saturday night before the game, we moved to another hotel. And we didn't even know we were moving. We just said, like, listen, Saturday, we're going on the bus.
Wow.
We're going on a different hotel just to get the team to lock in. Because sometimes when you know you may never come back, you may soak it all up. And then there's another guy who just may be so shell-shocked, he needs to kind of exhale. So if you bring a team to a different location, go through your whole game plan, kind of really understand what's about to happen, you now set the tone to how big the game is. So a lot goes into that, but for me, I tell this story. We got on that bus. It was so quiet. Guys, that's the first thing, because we were, you know, we had celebrities, Jesse Jackson, we had wrestlers, we had entertainers. Steeler Nation is huge. So when we got to that hotel Saturday night.
That's unbelievable.
When we got to that hotel Saturday night, man, we got on that bus, and it was like instantly it clicked for the whole team. It was quiet.
Yeah.
And it was so quiet to the point where we were all like, you know what? It's time. You can see the look in each other's eyes. Yeah.
Willie, I got to believe when I look back at this past season in the NFL, I'd have to put the Jets among the most disappointing seasons.
Sure.
Everyone thought Jets could be a playoff team, great defense.
All arrows was pointed that way. Yeah.
Willie, what on earth happened? Where did it start going south this year?
Man, I tell you, because I covered the Jets in New York, and one of the most troubling reports I heard was, I forgot who came out and said it, and pretty much said, listen, after week three, our season was over. Think about that.
Week three.
They had just beat the Buffalo Bills. At that point, they're 1-2. They lose to Kansas City. You know, if they beat Kansas City, they're 2-2. They're 500. And
that was the narrative after week three?
Week three. And everybody said going into that season, the season.
That's crazy.
If they would have finished 3-3 with this, because they had a tough start to the season.
Very tough start.
They played a lot of big-time teams.
Very tough start.
If they would have came in at 3-3, everybody would have been happy, and then you kind of march on. But to hear after week three, they kind of tapped.
That's unbelievable.
And to talk about, you know, it's a lot of guys, when you hear the reports, go, hey, you know, the injuries, Fitz wasn't playing well, the defense that was supposed to be at least top five, a secondary that was probably one of the strongest units for that team, did not show up. Darrelle Revis had a really troublesome year. It just kind of all collapsed, and a lot of people try to throw, you know, and the locker room became toxic. There was a lot of reports about that. It was from a former Jet and watching guys in that locker room who deserve a winning season, like a David Harris and a Nick Mangold. It was hard to watch, but this team can get better. They've done a great job this far hiring veteran coaches, not just from an X and O standpoint, but guys who can control a room. When you're dealing with a young team, sometimes the youngins can kind of take over the castle. But that's not going to happen this year. I think Bowles and Maccagnan understand you're only really allowed one season like this in the NFL. The team has not been in the playoffs in 5 years. So they're going to have to kind of come out this year swinging. And I think they did a great job of hiring Kevin Green for the outside linebacker coach, kind of getting rid of five assistants who they felt maybe wasn't ready for the role, and really trying to bring some more discipline back to that team.
You know, you're from New York, so you know about the dynamics when it comes to New York sports and the Giants and the Jets, and it's always been a Giants town. But New York's also, if you're winning, they've won recently. Right, my point is, if the Jets were winning and the Giants aren't, then it's a Jets town.
You know what I'm saying. Gotcha, I understand.
But with that said, when you came from Pittsburgh to the Jets, the Jets players don't ever feel like you're playing second fiddle to the Giants, do you?
No, but the media makes us feel that way.
Okay.
And it's a difference. Like, the players, we feel like we can go out and beat the Giants any time of the week. But the media and the fans around make us feel like we're the bastard cousin in the trailer park. And that's where you kind of feel like, wait, hold up. I know my offensive line was tougher than the Giants' offensive line. I know that for a fact. I know my defensive line is better than the Giants' offensive line. But it's one thing to know it, then prove it. We didn't prove it. We weren't consistent in our play. The Giants always find themselves in a playoff game.
Yeah.
And quarterback play is everything, man.
Yes, Eli is
he's great. He's probably top 10, top 8 quarterback in the league.
Yep.
We had Fitz that one good year, and then he struggled this year. And then we had Hackenberg, who hadn't done anything thus far. Bryce Freddy hadn't done anything. So quarterback play is everything. You don't have a quarterback, you just can't win the league no matter what you have around you.
Yeah, and Fitz, a year ago, he had a great year, and then you had the bad game to end the season in Buffalo. If you win, you're in the playoffs.
Right.
That's the way it is. You didn't miss a game, did you, in your career?
No, I've been on IRs.
But when you were able to play, you started every game, didn't you?
I've never rode the bench, bro.
Right. If you could walk and you had a uniform on, you were starting.
Without a doubt.
You didn't miss a start. That's the point I was trying to make.
I was always on the field. And for me, this is the culture we're in right now. And I'm trying not to cuss on air because I'm trying. But it's a lot of guys, the culture in Pittsburgh, and I try to tell a lot of guys, there's a difference between being hurt and injured.
Mm-hmm.
Hurt is a sprain, a bruise, or you just feel like crap. That means you got to go to work.
Yes.
Being injured, being in Pittsburgh, if somebody labeled you injured, that means something was hanging off your body. That's being injured.
Yes.
Today's guys that come into the league, they have a hard understanding what that is. How you feel is how you feel, but don't say you're injured. If you have a sprain or you feel bad or you're just going through the woes of the NFL, that's the league. Don't label yourself injured and miss practices or kind of miss treatment and stuff.
See, you know what? I want to interrupt for a minute because you were in the offensive line, offensive guard, and you played for many years with Ben Roethlisberger, and you see this guy walk out onto the field with one leg, and this the quarterback for crying out loud.
Yes.
I mean, that's just got to resonate throughout that entire locker room.
You know what pisses me off about that the most is that if Ben Roethlisberger can kind of somehow muster up the strength to give you 5 minutes of anything he had, and you've never scratched the turf, you've never played, you've never been in big games, how isn't your sense of urgency that way? You know what I mean? Like, how do you not match that same type of fire and grit to flat out get it done for your team? But that's the culture we're living in. I mean, I played with Alan Faneca, I played with Jeff Hardis, I played with guys who, I mean, if there was a Navy SEALs for football, these were the guys. You know what I mean? Like, there wasn't a climate, a situation, or if we were down 20, that these guys didn't blink. It was just flat out, we're going to get it done. And so I was extremely blessed to be birthed into that culture. And I
love that.
Yeah, and even as old as I am, and obviously I'm done, but I try to bring a lot of guys, like, listen, no matter what the score is, just if you kind of just keep pounding that rock and you stay the course, it's going to work out. But a lot of guys, and you watch all over football, if they're down 20, you see the body language, the mindset, the lack of enthusiasm for being on the field. That we didn't have that. I've been down. We played Cleveland. We were down 17 points, and we were all kind of pissy that we're about to lose to the Browns. Ben was like, no, we're not. He just put the Superman cape on.
I love that.
And we just flat out looked at each other and said, let's go get it. And we did. We ended up winning that game.
You know, I've never been in the wall. I'm a lifelong New York Giant fan.
Sure.
And I love the Mara family and what they've stood for and the way they run their franchise. And I'll tell you, I admire the Rooneys and the way they run that
Without
team.
A doubt.
And you know what? It's a culture, and it's the same, and this is the way it's going to be.
Yep.
And I just love that. And so when you're playing for an organization like that and then you're not, you can tell the difference, can't you?
listen, one thing I learned being a Steeler, we never talked about playoffs. We only talked about going to the Super Bowl. So our conversations were different. There was an expectation and an excellence we were always trying to pursue. Going to the playoffs was, well, why wouldn't we go to the playoffs? That was a wash. How are we getting to the Super Bowl? Who's in front of us? We took every day on as a challenge. And one thing Mike Tomlin did a great job of in preaching was take the field. Whatever your issues at home and in your personal life, once your cleats are on that field, it's only about football. And we embedded that. And our locker room was forever competitive. We have whack jobs. We had everything that the NFL had to offer. I mean, I'm being 100%.
Sure.
We had it.
Every team does.
We weren't the super Christians, and we were nice.
Every team does.
We were a band of bandits. But one thing we did, we banged for each other. We lived for each other.
That's awesome.
And on Sunday, and I try to tell a lot of guys, I met Cliff Averill.
Uh-huh.
We did a business boot camp last year. We was over in Michigan doing the class. And so we were talking about, you know, he knew I played for Pittsburgh and he played for Seattle. And I was like, how's the locker room, right? Because that's usually the conversation I know if a good team is really that good. He goes, oh, man, we do everything together, right? And I said, well, do you guys go to each other's events? He goes, go to each other's events. We pick each other up.
Wow.
You know what I mean? I totally lived for it because if Brett Kiesel had an event, I had at least three dudes calling me about 5 o'clock, dog. Hey, you got to go pick up my nephew and get in the van. I'll meet you downtown. We were always going to each other's events. We did everything for each other.
That's so
when it came to the field, it was no-brainer to put my life on the line for my brother. And I say that, and I never want to compare it to war.
No, I understand what you mean.
But we believed in, like, listen, if we don't do this together.
Yeah.
Because at some point, what people fail to realize is you're – each other's guys' families are involved in your team as well.
Yes.
The dads are not around. The husband's not around.
So awesome.
So the wife, I knew people's wives on a first name basis. I'm like, man, put Hamp on the phone. I'm looking for him.
Yep.
All right, Willie. I was talking to my brother. So when you build that camaraderie and that chemistry, man, like I had dinner last night with about 6 old Steelers, and we'd have thought we were rookies all over there. So it was.
You know, I'm so happy you said that. I've done the Sacramento Kings for 29 years. And so, it's very difficult to define chemistry, but you know when you don't have it. And when the Kings were rolling in the early 2000s with Vlade Divac and Peja Stojakovic and
Bobby
Chris
Jackson.
Weber and Mike Bibby and Bobby Jackson, what you just described to me just took me back to that era.
Sure.
Because that's how these guys were.
Sure.
You go out, they were all out together. You know what? After practice, they were all at each other's house.
Yep.
Holidays, they were all together, even with their wives, girlfriends, whatever. And I will tell you, and it was so special, and it does make a difference when
you
have that bond with your guys.
But it doesn't make a difference that you're going to play better. It just makes a difference that you know you can trust the guy.
Amen.
And that's the difference.
They got your back.
Like, everybody's going to have their day now. But the thing is, if I go into this, if I'm in a street fight, so one of my right guard, Darnell Stapleton, he's now the offensive line coach over in Princeton, Bucknell, rather. He tells a story. We were playing Jamal Williams from the San Diego Chargers, the great nose tackle. And I'm in the game. It's a playoff game. And I'm MFing this dude, hell to high water. I end up MFing one of his guys. And so he's like, man, you just going to let Willie talk to me like that? He goes, well, whatever Willie called you, he must have a reason for calling it. So if he calls you a son of a B, then you're a son of a B. But it was just like back then. I knew he never – it wasn't like, well, Willie, don't talk to my guy. He was like, well, if Willie called you a son of a B, that's what you are.
That's beautiful,
now, what
man.
Else you want to do from here?
I
but
love
just
it.
That loyalty and that fight, I mean, that's what it is, man.
Final thing. So what's life after football like for you?
Doing this, trying to do radio, doing TV. I've had a lot of great meetings this week. I'm pretty much whoring myself around, telling everybody I'm retired and I want to do TV and radio. But, you know, for me, being an offensive lineman, one perspective we do have that I think other positions don't have is we're not afraid to chop onions and tell it like it is.
Yeah.
We don't do it to build brands. This is who we are genuinely.
Hey, listen, I look at David Deal's doing great.
Yeah.
Sean O'Hara's doing great. It's right there for you.
Yeah, and I know all those guys, all great guys, but it's time for the big hefties to kind of get some
Big for Willie, man, to rise up and be seen and be heard.
Exactly,
hey,
man.
Let me, man, if I can do it, you sure as hell can do it, okay?
Well,
let me tell you something right now.
Well, you won me over once you say he was a Long Island guy, so I appreciate that, man.
You know, we had a guy on the Kings, Francisco Garcia, who was from the Bronx.
Yeah.
And I figured, you know, he was a diehard Yankee fan. He goes, no, man, I'm a Red Sox fan. I go, wait a minute, whoa. You live from the Bronx? You're from the Bronx, and you're a Red Sox fan?
I played against him in high school.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. And I'm like, I go, yeah, because of David Ortiz. I go, get the hell out of here, Cisco. I don't want to talk to you anymore. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're from the – you live 6 blocks from the stadium, and you are a Red Sox fan.
I grew up – I went to Cardinal Hayes High School right there in the Bronx. I'm 5 minutes from the stadium.
Yeah.
If it wasn't pinstripes, I wasn't talking about it. So I totally get you.
You're beautiful.
Yeah, man. I wasn't even talking. I went to the old stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Where you was allowed to bring your lunch into the stadium.
Oh, yeah.
People don't remember that?
Hey, let me tell you. I used to go to Yankee Stadium in the old Yankee Stadium in the early 60s to watch the New York Football Giants play, and we had tickets in the bleachers.
Oh, wow.
And we had a ball, and I was at every single Giants game from the early 60s up until I went to college.
Listen,
at the old Yankee Stadium.
If you ever wanted culture, go to the old school Yankee Stadium,
yes.
Sit in the bleachers.
Yep.
You see 50 Dominicans, have a pack of lunch, have some soda, and you will have a jamboree, baby. Because they were passionate.
Yes.
They were loved. They were full of life.
They loved
man.
It. Absolutely.
And I remember having some of my best times in the summer up there in the Yankee Stadium in the bleachers rocking
it's
out.
It's the best, man.
Yeah, man. That's New York life for you.
Willie, be good, man.
Pleasure, brother. No, many blessings to you, man.
You're awesome.
Thank
I wish you.
You
the best of luck. That's Willie Colon. Good chat right there. Former Steeler, been in the Super Bowl, won a Super Bowl, former Jet. Right here on the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie on Sports 1140 KHDK.